Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Appreciate the invitation to participate. I was 25 years in practice as an architect, and 4 years ago I was asked to join Balfour Beatty as their director for design. Appreciate the chance to come to Belfast. It's a decade since I've been here, but the hospitality hasn't declined one bit. Appreciate the chance to spend some time with some of the colleagues earlier today. Already over 50% of architects in the UK are working for contractor clients. That statistic would have seemed unimaginable 10-20 years ago. Simon quoted from reports published just a few years ago. These headlines were 2 weeks ago. In Building Design magazine, clients are so scared of harmful headlines, they have started commissioning less standout buildings, said Cambridge Professor of Architecture Alan Short. He said architects were criminalised following a National Audit Office report in 1999 into a spate of buildings built using public money. Building magazine said 2 weeks ago, consultants are going to get used to taking a more subordinate role on major government projects. That came from David Pritchard, an executive director of the Major Projects Authority. The construction industry is evolving very quickly. Changes to public procurement aimed at encouraging more integrated working across construction, the rise of BIM, building information modelling, the proliferation of narrow but expert specialists, means that architects will have to adapt and redefine their role and outlook. Let me just give you some facts of how architects' work is procured across the general aspect of the United Kingdom. For the public sector, the government procures all major acute hospitals through PFI. They appoint a consortium who subsequently appoint an architect. It also procures other healthcare work through Procure 21 in the mainland, through a group of only six contractors, of which Balfour Beatty is one. The Ministry of Defence procures all its facilities for our armed services personnel via design and build or prime contracting through a contractor. The Ministry of Justice is selecting contractors via a framework route to whom designers will be novated from our IBA Stage D onwards to deliver prisons, courts, and related buildings. Academies and some free schools are being procured through the Partnerships for Schools framework through 12 contractors. Much of our university stock is procured via construction-led frameworks or design and build. Even the major infrastructure projects, such as our Olympic Games, are procured through design and build. Energy from waste facilities and other infrastructure schemes are also procured in the same way, through a contractor or consortium who subsequently employ designers. That's the public sector. What about the private sector? Most major developers, such as Hammersons, Grosvenor, British Land, Argent, Wilson Bowden, may employ architects to develop a concept, but subsequently they employ a contractor to deliver the scheme, whether they novate the designer or not. Santander, Ask, Hines, Ballymore, other owners and developers and investors are all procuring their schemes through contractors. It's true perhaps in all sectors except perhaps the private domestic market, but the architect is now working for the contractor in probably 8 out of 10 schemes. So I speak to you today for a few minutes as both an architect and contractor with a design background, but also as a client. That situation isn't new. Christopher Wren spoke as both architect and contractor, because the word architect meant master builder. I suggest that contractors aren't doing this because they fancied an experiment. Hey, we'll go and compete with the design profession. Or as an attempt to earn more fees. The debate is not about whether PFI, Procure 21, D&B are the most efficient methods of procurement. After all, which contractor wants to spend millions on a bid and lose, which we did recently, even though we won on design? It's what our clients are asking for. It is what the public sector is asking for. It is what so many of the private sector are asking for. We don't have time in these few minutes to debate why. But in the last 5 years, I have spent about £25 million to £27 million a year on fees. Most of which on architects, but there's other engineers. Because as contractors, we still need architects. We don't design the facilities, you do. But the government and many of our other clients want us to take control of that process. And just to give you a hint of who we work for or with, we do strive to delight our clients by employing Field and Clegg Bradley, Zaha Hadid, Nicholas Hare, John McCaslin, Jessica M. Wiles, Hawkins Brown, BDP, Nicholas Grimshaw, Faulkner Browns, Pennoy and Prasad, Wright and Wright, and so on and so forth, to name but a few. But I'm afraid the choice of procurement system and the factors that make contractors, if you like, the new architects, are not of our own making. Architects in traditional practice, I would suggest, cannot ignore those facts. You will know the local climate here in Northern Ireland, and that's always changing. You will know what you face. Perhaps it is a little different than the mainland UK. But in the mainland UK, that position is there to stay for some time, I fear. In 1994, Sir Michael Latham published a report, Constructing the Team. His report had two prime objectives: to reduce litigation and to increase productivity. He predicted that whatever the procurement route, our clients will expect four things. Number one, a single channel of responsibility. Number two, a supply side team that is closely integrated. Three, design flair and cost consciousness. And four, the early involvement of specialists in detail design. Subsequently to that report, the government decided that it was their intention to procure all public buildings by one of three methods: PFI, design and build, prime contracting. The overriding common characteristics for those being that they do have a single point of contact and responsibility, they have cost certainty, and it's an integrated team. So I hope that you'll consider what's happening elsewhere to inform your debate and the way you structure yourselves for the future. For one thing is certain, and that is change. To conclude, I'll quote from Paul Hyatt, who was the president of the RIBA, and he's also an experienced expert witness. And he said this: 60% of construction claims occur due to increased building costs and program delays. Technical failure in designs or specification accounts for a further 30%. He said, no one gets sued over an ugly elevation. So I put it to you that whilst it might be the focus for an awards, and I'm certainly not advocating that we're not interested in quality design as Balfour Beatty or from a personal standpoint whatsoever. We have to win our projects through design as well as through an interest in cost and programme and quality. But I'd suggest many of our clients are indicating that our focus as architects ought to include much more than just the visual. Thank you very much.